Ago, the folks up at the University of Virginia noticed that there was a mite in the dogwood trees, and a lot of my dogwoods have died, and that they released some ladybugs to control the mites. Well, the ladybugs sort of got out of hand, and they released the stink bugs to control the ladybugs. So, waiting to see what they will put out to eat the stink bugs, you know. I know my shop back does a real good job on them, you know, but nevertheless, if you will, please turn to John chapter 1. But I appreciate that. I've just been wanting to do that, and I just haven't had an opportunity. So, John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." And of course, John is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, our God and only Savior. Verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Has any of you ever had a brush with the law? Now, don't answer that. Don't raise your hand. I'm sure if you of the age to be driving, as a lot of you are, if you're going down the highway or the city street and you look behind you and you see a police cruiser, you know, doesn't it sort of make you a little tense? Does me. I've been driving a long time, you know. If you're just a child, you've had a brush probably with the law of mom or dad, you know. I know my two boys, they had a brush every so often, you know. Like maybe every 90 minutes or so, you know, at least. But, you know, it's the law. You know, grace is at opposites with the law, isn't it? There's the law and then there's grace. The commentator of my particular King James Bible, he writes, "Grace is the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man, not by works of righteousness which we have done. It is therefore constantly set in contrast to the law, which is the works of righteousness, isn't it? That's what the law is. Law is connected with Moses and works, grace with Christ and faith." And then he writes, "Law blesses the good, but grace saves the bad." Grace saves the bad. Think about that. Law demands that blessings be earned by doing what the law says, by doing good. But grace is a free gift. At great cost, however, to God, but free to us. Grace. I've got a little outline tonight, and it comes by courtesy of a man named J.F. Strombeck. I obtained a copy of his book, Grace and Truth, and in chapter 16 of his book, he puts forth a four-part outline, and I'd like for us to look at those four things tonight. Mr. Strombeck was a great man of God. He owned a manufacturing company that produced wood products, and he died many years ago in 1959. But early on, he was saved, and he devoted his life to expounding and studying the Word of God. We have four things we want to look at tonight. And they're particularly poignant at this time of the year just before Easter, because they were all given by the Lord Jesus Christ just before He went to the cross. And we have four new truths, is what I call them. Number one, we have a new commandment. If you will, look in John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. A new commandment. Now the law commanded that those that were under the law to love. The law commanded to love. If you don't believe me, and I want you to turn here anyway, whether you do or you don't, but please look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4. And I didn't tell you this, but I want you to keep your finger in John chapter 13. So this is very important. If you got one of those ribbons in your Bible, you can just put it right there in John 13 and keep it right there. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by the way and when thou liest down and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. In other words, it's very, 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 very important, God says. But your attention is drawn there to verse number 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. All right, let's let that sink in. All thine heart, all thy soul, all thy might, a commandment to love the Lord thy God. Go back a couple of books to Leviticus, please. Leviticus chapter 19. And verse 18, Leviticus 19:18. Here's some more of the law. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. All right, here's that commandment to love again. This time, we are to love our neighbor as ourself. To love thy neighbor as thyself. All right, you got that? It's God, and then your neighbor. Okay, turn to Matthew now. Matthew chapter 22. And we'll look in verse 35. And you still got your ribbon now in John 13, okay? Everybody still with me? All right. Matthew 35, or excuse me, Matthew 22, 35. Have I totally confused you? Matthew 22, 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, he's tempting the Lord Jesus, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, this is a lawyer. You would think, well, he should know this, you know, really, shouldn't he? since he's a lawyer. But he asked the Lord this, and no doubt he knew this himself, because it says he was tempting the Lord. But he says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now keep your finger right there. I just wanted to read all that for emphasis. You know, the Lord Jesus, he quoted from the Old Testament. Pull your ribbon out or your finger or whatever. Back over here at John chapter 13, verse 34. "A new commandment," God says, the Lord Jesus says, "I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Back over to Matthew chapter 22. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." And then you're supposed to love, it says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, some of you may think it's sacrilege, but I write in my Bible. And in my Bible, I have written, right over the top of this passage in Matthew 22, H-U-M-A-N, love, human love. Now think about it. The law has commanded us to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's human love, isn't it? Now, if you flip back over to John, chapter 13, verse 34, the Lord Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as thyself." No, doesn't say that, does it? "That ye love one another as I have loved you." Now, over this passage, I have written divine love. His love for us was a love divine. As the songwriter writes, "Love divine, all loves excelling." Love divine. A new commandment, number one. Now, I know what you're going to say. Johnny's probably thinking this. He said, "Randy, you're not very special. In fact, you're not much to look at. It'd be hard for me just to love you with human love. How in this world can I love you with divine love?" Just let that sink in just for a minute. That's the commandment that the Lord Jesus gives us. Love one another as I have loved you. Point number two, a new power. Look in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Now here's how you can love one another with divine love. It's because you've got the divine nature dwelling within you. And that's the only way you can do it. That's the only way I can do it. That's it. That's the bottom line. If you try to love your neighbor as yourself and try to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy might, you can't do it. Nobody has done it. Not completely and fully. No one has ever done that. Except for the one who fulfilled the law, the blessed Son of God. And He has imparted that divine nature in each one of us who know Him as Savior so that we can love one another as He loved us with divine love. Now, there's a few things here that we want to look at. Now you're all saying, I know the Holy Spirit's been around a long time. And you're right. And what's new about this? Well, if we had time, we could go back into the Old Testament. We could look specifically at Samson. If you remember, the Spirit came upon him at different times to help him to defeat the Philistines. But you know, when he committed sin with that lady, I believe her name was Delilah. You know, it says he jumped up there at one time and he was going to fight off the Philistines. And the Bible says he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. We could look at the man Saul, and we could read how that the Lord had taken his spirit away from Saul. Turn, please. Keep your ribbon right here in John 14. Look in Psalm 51. Psalm chapter 51. And this is David, the man who the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. In Psalm 51:9, David writes, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Back in John chapter 14, this is new. Number two, this is new. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, excuse me, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. A couple of things there in verse number 16. God the Father is going to give us, or has given us, the Holy Spirit. And he has done this at the request of his dearly beloved Son. You know, there's some folk, they believe that you've got to do something. I don't know what. You've got to pray. You've got to experience something in order to receive the Holy Spirit. That's not what my Bible says. It says, the Lord Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. This is at the request of the dearly beloved Son of God to the Father to give us the Holy Spirit. And it says that he may abide with you forever. In other words, he will abide with us forever. Now, that's pretty good. That's good enough for me. You know, that old song says, give me the old time religion, it's good enough for me. Well, that's good enough for me right there. You don't have to go any further. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. If you're saved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've confessed your sins, asked God to save your soul, he's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and you have got the Holy Spirit, praise God, living and dwelling within your heart. That's it. In fact, that's one of the true evidences that you are saved. If you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you, you know, Romans chapter 8 tells us that we, you know, our spirit bears witness with his spirit. You know, that we're his children, that Spirit of God dwelling within us. That's that power that enables us to love one another as Christ loved us, with that love divine. Okay? Number three, we're moving right along, aren't we? We may finish early. Number three, we have a new relationship for labor. Okay, and that's in John 15, one more chapter. John 15, look in verse 14. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. All right, now, earlier, and we won't go back, but the Lord Jesus did tell his disciples, you know, that he was their master. But here, this is new. He says, henceforth, in other words, right now, starting on now, that's what henceforth means, you know. I call you not servants, but I'm going to call you friends, the Lord Jesus says. Now, you can go out, or you can go to any courthouse in the country. But I think the last time I talked, I mentioned the real nice courthouse that all you nice folks built out here at Wentworth. Y'all did a good job. I know it cost you $50 million or so, but it's a real nice courthouse. Real nice. I've been out there. I was on the jury. I wasn't in trouble with the law. I just want to tell you that, you know. But it's a real nice place. It's an intimidating place too. It's an austere place, and it's Johnny's. You know, you've been out there. I'm sure you had nothing. But anyway, I don't want to pick on you, brother. You know, just. But anyway. If you go out there, or you go to any courthouse in the country, you go to the U.S. Supreme Court, you can go to any court in this world, and you'll hear a lot of cases argued by the counselors at law, the attorneys, over the relationship of employer, employee, master, servant, if you will. Because, you know, when you take a job, and I had a job one time, retired now, but I remember what it was like. You know, if you're an employee, you promise to do, in essence, you enter into a legal contract, so to speak, with an employer to do a day's work and do what that employer wants you to do for a certain amount of money, usually, you know, and other fringe benefits. And each one of you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to honestly perform your duties, you know, legally, and observing all the rules that the employer has for you. And he has, or she has, a responsibility, or that big corporation or whatever, you know, to pay you on payday. And to, you know, it's a two-way street. And you can go to any court in the world and hear cases argued, you know, because one party or the other has not fulfilled their duties as employer or employee or as master or as servant, but you will never hear one case argued, not in any court, because this fellow says, well, he did not fulfill his duties as my friend. Think about that. I'm your friend because I love you. There is no money involved. There's no labor involved. Nothing done expecting something in return, is there? It's because of friendship. And the Lord is saying, you know, before you were under the law, master and servant, now I'm calling you friends. We're friends. And our relationship is based on that divine love. That's good, isn't it? Isn't that good? Just think about what that means. Friends with the very Son of God. Friends with that one who loved us and gave himself for us. Friendship has no legal responsibility. It's not a thing that's governed by the law. I wish we had time, and we may just a little bit, but think about in your Bibles who God says is my servant. He says Moses is my servant. Everywhere you read in the Old Testament, God says, my servant Moses, my servant Moses, my servant Moses. That verse we just read at the very beginning, now the law came by Moses. Think about that. The Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as God's servant. He fulfilled the law, didn't he? He fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the law. Lived a perfect and sinless life. The nation of Israel is referred to as my servant, God's servant. And we mention Moses and the Lord Jesus. David is called my servant in Scripture. What about Abraham? What about Abraham? How does God refer to Abraham? He's God's friend, isn't he? God's friend. And you know, the Bible teaches that we are the spiritual seed of Abraham. That's a study all in its own. That's a deep, deep study. I'm just going to throw that out. Now, the church and one under grace is never, never called the servant of God. Now, you may be thinking, well, Paul the apostle, he called himself a bond slave of Jesus, didn't he? But think about that. That was his own designation, wasn't it? God didn't say, you're my bond slave. The apostle Paul, he put himself in that characterization. That was his own term. Your friend, you're my friends, the Lord Jesus says. Number four, a new ground upon which to approach God. One more chapter, John 16. Look in verse 23. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. Alright, put your ribbon right there again. Put your ribbon right there. And let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now there's a whole lot of scripture that we could have looked at. The passage that tells us that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ and, you know, all of those different things. This sort of illustrates this, however, that one particular about being the schoolmaster. Look in Matthew 6. Look in verse 9. And I think in one of the other Gospels, the disciples had asked the Lord to teach them to pray. They had asked the Lord Jesus to teach us to pray. Alright, here in Matthew 6 verse 9, the Lord Jesus says, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven, done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, verse number 12, and look at this closely. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts. And then there's the condition, as we forgive our debtors. This is legal ground again. God is faithful to forgive us if we forgive others. This is legal ground. Back over in John chapter 16, where your ribbon's at. If I can get my ribbon out. Verse 23, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. This is new ground. To ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is to ask based on who He is and what He has done on Calvary's cross. It's not to ask based on, well, I forgave old Joe out here, Lord. You know, now you need to forgive me because I forgave him. No, it's not to ask based on what I have done or you have done, but it's based upon asking upon the one who gave his life for our sins, who laid down his life. That's what God looks at when we pray. He doesn't look at how good we've been. He just looks at the basis upon which we pray, and that's upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews, look real quickly. In Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 20, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us. That's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now that's for divine forgiveness, isn't it? One thing I missed, I was going to mention about the divine love, was how are we husbands to love our wives? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But that's divine love, isn't it? Divine love. Okay, to summarize, we have a new commandment that we love one another even as the Lord Jesus Christ loved us. We have a new power, that indwelling Holy Spirit. That's how we can love one another, isn't it? With divine love. We have a new relationship for labor. We're not servants, we're friends. We're the very Son of God. We're His friend. And then, lastly, we have a new ground upon which to approach God. That ground that's the solid rock. That rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope this has been profitable to you. Let's pray just for a moment. Our Father, we do thank you for your word and for the great meaning that it has. Lord, we know we just barely touch the surface every time that we open your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless us and help us to understand more and more about your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.